The views expressed on this program are the views of the individual broadcaster and do not necessarily reflect the view of Wesleyan University or the WESU management. Hello, and welcome to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show about faith and action, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, and WESUFM.org, providing community radio that matters. I'm Maria Johnson. You've heard the sound bites? Now here's the entire broadcast of the recent Al Smith Dinner, that annual New York City white tie ritual benefiting Catholic charities. This year produced numerous memorable moments and a first, a guest speaker being roundly booed. The acrimony on display from both presidential candidates has been called a metaphor for the whole campaign season. At the risk of further torturing you when you're so ready for it all to be over, here it is, the whole sordid affair, after these messages.
My name is Father John Baptist Pesch from Holy Family Monastery in West Hartford. I think this is a great contribution to what the Church is supposed to be at all times, but especially in our day when we're emphasizing more and more the Church as the people of God. It's a wonderful program, and I'm glad that Maria Johnson, she took the challenge up when she recognized that there were certain voices that were not giving the proper impression of the way Catholics should respond to the realities of life in the political and social order. I'm in favor of this, even though maybe sometimes I hear things that I don't really approve of. So what? I mean, nobody has a monopoly on what the Church is. I encourage you to support this by your prayers. We always say that, and we mean it. But I also mean this. Any kind of a sacrifice you can make to give to the program is well worth it. And I really hope that if I disturbed your conscience a little bit, I hope you'll make the most of it. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, your kind attention, please. Please welcome back to the podium, Alfred E. Smith IV.
I'm back. A couple of shout-outs. I want to thank Ann McGilvray, who really has made this dinner possible. Ann, great job. And a shout-out to Jim Blauvelt. This is his last Al Smith dinner. We've worked at 30 together. He's been here 37 years, and he keeps the trains on time. Jim, thank you. Before we go on, I'd like to recognize several dignitaries in the room. Governor Cuomo is here tonight. At last night's debate, gave an idea. He told Bill Morrow that he wants the staff to start calling him a tough hombre. Mayor de Blasio's here tonight, Mr. Mayor. We'd like to apologize. We could not grant you your request to sit to the left of everybody. He got here on time. Yeah. Chuck Schumer is here. You may not know this, but Chuck is running for his fourth term. Chuck has a favor to ask. Can someone tell him who his opponent is? Senator Gillibrand is also here. Senator, it must be nice to see two New Yorkers vying for the highest office in the land. It just goes to show you that if you were born into immense wealth for your husband was president, you can accomplish anything. Rudy Giuliani is here. Yeah. Mr. Mayor, don't worry. We aim the lights just right to make sure you'll be in Donald Trump's shadow all night. Governor Christie was supposed to be here, but he got stuck in bridge traffic. It's always nice to be here with my friend, Cardinal Dolan. In this difficult time for our nation, we should think about the deep questions of faith. Cardinal Dolan asks us all things like, how can one fully understand the Holy Spirit? What does salvation really mean? And are you going to finish that? I mean it sincerely. Every in attendance is doing their part in supporting our charitable efforts. And it couldn't be done without you. Now, without the amazing support of the many devoted Catholics on stage. You know, Catholics like Henry Kissinger, Howard Rubenstein, Mort Zuckerman. Before we turn this over our speakers, I want to address the elephant in the room. I was talking to Cardinal Dolan. No, that was not a plan. Bear with me. I wish I thought of that. It just happened to fall in that way. Earlier about the WikiLeaks emails that said certain members of the Clinton campaign wanted to incite a revolution in the Catholic Church. I was pretty concerned. We had a very constructive conversation with the Clinton campaign, and Cardinal Dolan said, if the cardinals and the clergy haven't destroyed the church in the last 2,000 years, the Democratic Conference don't stand a chance. Of course, the Donald got in a very public tiff with the Pope last year. I know you discussed that with the Cardinal last week, and it should be easy to mend that relationship. Because Donald and the Pope Francis have so much in common. Friends, they leave lives of humility. So for this evening, all is forgiven. It is now my privilege to introduce the first of this evening's speakers. We determine tonight's order backstage. I'm happy to report, no matter how the coin toss ended, our next speaker was going to say it was rigged. I'm speaking, of course, about the Republican nominee, Donald J. Trump. There were actually some rumors going around that he wasn't going to show up tonight. He could say he wanted to keep us in suspense. We considered having a Donald Trump cutout on the dais, but if we wanted someone still lifeless, we could ask Charlie Rose to speak again. It is historic that Donald is here tonight. That's right, for the first time, the Catholic Church is not the largest tax-exempt landowner here tonight. We are honored to have Donald and Melania here tonight. The Al Smith Dinner is a New York institution. The Donald, a kid from Queens, with a big heart and a big mouth, was without question a New York institution. Donald, the microphone is yours, and it's working.
You are listening to the complete audio of the Al Smith Dinner, New York City's annual benefit for Catholic charities that usually is something of the presidential candidates' genteel roast of each other in a spirit of mutual respect. This year's was something else. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU FM and WESUFM.org, as well as ReasonablyCatholic.com. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment.
This is Mark Silk. I direct the Leonard E. Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life at Trinity College, and delighted to be able to say a word on behalf of Reasonably Catholic, which I think is a wonderful show for progressive Catholics. I urge the support for the show, and you should go to the website at WESUFM.org as early and often as you can.
I started a joke, which started the whole world crying. But I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh, no.
Thank you, Al. Wow. That was good. This is a hell of a dinner. Well, I want to thank Your Eminence. This is really great to be with you again. We love it. Governor Cuomo, our great senators. Hi, Chuck. He used to love me when I was a Democrat, you know. Mayor de Blasio, wherever you are. Where is Mayor de Blasio? Huh? Oh, well, Mayor, come on. See, in the old days, I would have known him very well, but I haven't been doing so much of the real estate anymore. And I want to thank Al and Nan Smith, just a fantastic job you do with the dinner, and congratulations on a record, over $6 million, right, is their record. A special hello to all of you in this room who have known and loved me for many, many years. It's true. The politicians, they've had me to their homes. They've introduced me to their children. I've become their best friends in many instances. They've asked for my endorsement, and they always wanted my money. And even called me really a dear, dear friend. But then, suddenly, decided when I ran for president as a Republican that I've always been a no-good, rotten, disgusting scoundrel. And they totally forgot about me. But that's okay. You know, they say when you do this kind of an event, you always start out with a self-deprecating joke. Some people think this would be tough for me, but the truth is, I'm actually a modest person, very modest. It's true. In fact, many people tell me that modesty is perhaps my best quality. Even better than my temperament. You know, Cardinal Dolan and I have some things in common. For instance, we both run impressive properties on Fifth Avenue. Of course, his is much more impressive than mine. That's because I built mine with my own beautifully formed hands. While his was built with the hands of God, and nobody can compete with God. Is that correct? Nobody, right? That's right. No contest. It's great to be here with 1,000 wonderful people, or as I call it, a small intimate dinner with some friends, or as Hillary calls it, her largest crowd of the season. This is corny stuff. I do recognize that I come into this event with a little bit of an advantage. I know that so many of you in the Archdiocese already have a place in your heart for a guy who started out as a carpenter working for his father. I was a carpenter working for my true. Not for a long period of time, but I was for about 3 weeks. What's great about the Al Smith dinner is that even in the rough and tumble world of a really, really hard-fought campaign. In fact, I don't know if you know Hillary, but last night they said that was the most vicious debate in the history of politics, presidential debate, the most vicious. And I don't know, are we supposed to be proud of that or are we supposed to be unhappy? But they did say that, and I'm trying to think back to Lincoln. I don't think they can really compete with that. But the candidates have some lighthearted moments together, which is true. I have no doubt that Hillary is going to laugh quite a bit tonight, sometimes even at an appropriate moment. And even tonight, with all of the heated back and forth between my opponent and me at the debate last night, we have proven that we can actually be civil to each other. In fact, just before taking the dais, Hillary accidentally bumped into me, and she very civilly said, "Pardon me." And I very politely replied, "Let me talk to you about that after I get into office." Just kidding. And Hillary was very gracious. She said if somehow she gets elected, she wants me to be, without question, either her ambassador to Iraq or to Afghanistan. It's my choice. But one of the things I noticed tonight, and I've known Hillary for a long time, is this is the first time ever, ever, that Hillary is sitting down and speaking to major corporate leaders and not getting paid for it. You know, last night, I called Hillary a nasty woman. But this stuff is all relative. After listening to Hillary rattle on and on, and on. I don't think so badly of Rosie O'Donnell anymore. In fact, I'm actually starting to like Rosie a lot. These events give not only the candidates a chance to be with each other in a very social setting, it also allows the candidates the opportunity to meet the other candidates' team. Good team. I know Hillary met my campaign manager, and I got the chance to meet the people who are working so hard to get her elected. There they are, the heads of NBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, there's the New York Times right over there, and the Washington Post. They're working overtime. Two. Oh, this one's going to get me in trouble. Not with Hillary. You know, the president told me to stop whining. But I really have to say, the media is even more biased this year than ever before. Ever. You want the proof? Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case. And I don't get it. I don't know why. And it wasn't her fault. Stand up, Melania. Come on. She took a lot of abuse. Oh, I'm in trouble when I go home tonight. She didn't know about that one. Am I okay? I said, okay. Cardinal, please speak to her. I'd like to address an important religious matter. the issue of going to confession, or as Hillary calls it, the 4th of July weekend with FBI Director Comey. Now, I'm told Hillary went to confession before tonight's event. But the priest was having a hard time when he asked her about her sins, and she said she couldn't remember 39 times. Nah. Hillary is so corrupt. She got kicked off the Watergate Commission. How corrupt you have to be to get kicked off the Watergate Commission? Pretty corrupt. Hillary is and has been in politics since the 70s. What's her pitch? The economy is busted. The government's corrupt. Washington is failing. Vote for me. I've been working on these problems for 30 years. I can fix it, she says. I wasn't really sure if Hillary was going to be here tonight, because I guess you didn't send her invitation by email. Or maybe you did, and she just found out about it through the wonder of WikiLeaks. We've learned so much from WikiLeaks. For example, Hillary believes that it's vital to deceive the people by having one public policy and a totally different policy in private. That's okay. I don't know who they're angry at, Hillary. You're right. For example, here she is tonight in public pretending not to hate Catholics. Now, if some of you haven't noticed, Hillary isn't laughing as much as the rest of us. That's because she knows the jokes. And all of the jokes were given to her in advance of the dinner by Donna Brazil, which is, everyone knows, of course, Hillary's belief that it takes a village, which only makes sense, after all, in places like Haiti, where she's taken a number of them. Thank you. I don't know, and I don't want this evening without saying something nice about my opponent. Hillary's been in Washington a long time. She knows a lot about how government works. And according to her sworn testimony, Hillary has forgotten more things than most of us will ever, ever know. That I can tell you. We're having some fun here tonight, and that's good. On a personal note, what an amazing honor it is to be with all of you. And I want to congratulate Hillary on getting the nomination, and we're in there fighting, and over the next 19 days, somebody's going to be chosen. We'll see what happens. But I have great memories of coming to this dinner with my father over the years when I was a young man. Great experience for me. This was always a special experience for him and me to be together. One thing we can all agree on is the need to support the great work that comes out of the dinner. Millions of dollars have been raised to support disadvantaged children, and I applaud the many people who have worked to make this wonderful event a critical lifeline for children in need. And that we together broke the all-time record tonight is really something special. More than 6 million net, net, net. The Cardinal told me that's net, net, Donald, remember. We can also agree on the need to stand up to anti-Catholic bias, to defend religious liberty, and to create a culture that celebrates life. America is in many ways divided. Thank you. America is in many ways divided like it's never been before. And the great religious leaders here tonight give us all an example that we can follow. We're living in a time and age that we never thought possible before. The vicious barbarism we'd read about in history books, but never thought we'd see it in our so-called modern day world. Who would have thought we would be witnessing what we're witnessing today? We've got to be very strong, very, very smart, and we've got to come together, not only as a nation, but as a world community. Thank you very much. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you. Thank you.
This is a rebroadcast of the Al Smith Dinner, an annual charity benefit at which Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, separated by Cardinal Timothy Dolan, were anything but charitable to each other. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU-FM Middletown and WESUFM.org, as well as ReasonablyCatholic.com. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment.
There's no listener-supported community radio without listener support. Donate online at WESUFM.org.
As Ronald Reagan would say, there you go again. Thank you very much, Donald. We're honored by your presence. This dinner is a fundraiser for the needy children of the Archdiocese. I'm pleased to announce that tonight we have raised $6 million. And let me put that in perspective for you. That will pay for nearly 5 minutes of our next speaker's speech. Hillary is a Democratic nominee for president. But it wasn't exactly a smooth ride she had hoped for. She endured a tough primary challenge from that young centrist upstart Bernie Sanders. She endured questions about her health. Madam Secretary, I can't believe all these people said it wasn't presidential to catch pneumonia. Just look at William Henry Harrison. And she said things that she later had to take back. For example, Hillary really didn't mean it when she called half of Donald's supporters a basket of deplorables. To be fair, Donald didn't really mean it when he said he'd release his tax returns either. Secretary Hilton's career in public service is admirable. She has devoted her entire life to working for the public service from Arkansas to Washington to New York. She has been a tireless advocate for children, and her attendance here tonight is one example of that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Thank you. Thank you. Your Eminence, Your Excellencies, members of the clergy, Alan Mann Smith, Donald and Melania, and all the distinguished guests. Now, earlier tonight, Al reminded me that when the first Al Smith ran for president, he chose as his running mate the progressive senator from Arkansas, Joseph T. Robinson, who was one of my husband's political heroes. This work that you do through the dinner, Al, you've done it now for 33 years, is such a labor of love. You've been a hero for both the children of the Archdiocese and for the city of New York. And I think we all owe Al Smith a great, great round of applause. This is such a special event that I took a break from my rigorous nap schedule to be here. And as you've already heard, it's a treat for all of you too, because usually I charge a lot for speeches like this. But for me, it was kind of ironic thinking about a fiery populist, Al Smith. If he were here today and saw how much money we've raised for needy children, he'd be very proud. And if he saw this magnificent room full of plutocrats celebrating his legacy, he'd be very confused. It's a special honor to be here with Your Eminence. Now, I know, Your Eminence, you were criticized for inviting both Donald and me here tonight. And you responded by saying, if I only sat down with those who were saints, I'd be taking all my meals alone. Now, just to be clear, I think the cardinal is saying I'm not eligible for sainthood. But getting through these three debates with Donald has to count as a miracle. So I guess I'm up against the highest, hardest stained glass ceiling. But Your Eminence, you do deserve great credit for bringing together two people who've been at each other's throats, mortal enemies, bitter foes. I've got to ask, how did you get the governor and mayor here together tonight? Now, I've got to say, there are a lot of friendly faces here in this room, people that I've been privileged to know and to work with. I just want to put you all in a basket of adorables. And you look so good in your tuxes, or as I refer to them, formal pantsuits. And, you know, because this is a friendly dinner for such a great cause, Donald, if at any time you don't like what I'm saying, feel free to stand up and shout wrong while I'm talking. You know, come to think of it, it's amazing I'm up here after Donald. I didn't think he'd be okay with a peaceful transition of power. And Donald, after listening to your speech, I will also enjoy listening to Mike Pence deny that you ever gave it. You know, I've had the privilege of being at the Al Smith dinners in years past, and I always enjoy it. But remember, if you're not happy with the way it comes out, it must be rigged. And it's always a special treat for me to be back in New York, a city that I love and which I think truly embodies the best of America. You know, don't you think? People look at the Statue of Liberty and they see a proud symbol of our history as a nation of immigrants, a beacon of hope for people around the world. Donald looks at the Statue of Liberty and sees a four. Maybe a five if she loses the torch and tablet and changes her hair. You know, come to think of it, you know what would be a good number for a woman? 45. But I digress. Now, I'm going to try my best tonight. But I understand I am not known for my sense of humor. That's why it did take a village to write these jokes. People say, and I hear them, I know, they say, I'm boring compared to Donald. But I'm not boring at all. In fact, I'm the life of every party I attend, and I've been to three. And when the parties get out of hand, as occasionally they do, it's important to have a responsible chaperone who can get everyone home safely. And that is why I picked Tim Kaine to be my vice president. Now, you notice there is no teleprompter here tonight, which is probably smart because maybe you saw Donald dismantle his prompter the other day. And I get that. They're hard to keep up with, and I'm sure it's even harder when you're translating from the original Russian. But every year, this dinner brings together a collection of sensible, committed, mainstream Republicans, or as we now like to call them, Hillary supporters. Now, some of my critics, and I hear that too, yeah, they think I only say what people want to hear. Well, tonight that is true. And here's exactly what you want to hear. This election will be over very, very soon. And look at this dais. We got Charlie Rose and Maria Bartiromo and Chris Matthews and Gail King and Nora O'Donnell and Katie Couric. This counts as a press conference, right? It is great also to see Mayor Bloomberg here. It's a shame he's not speaking tonight. I'm curious to hear what a billionaire has to say. And look else at the dais. We've got the Honorable Chuck Schumer, the Honorable Andrew Cuomo, the Honorable Mike Bloomberg, the Honorable Bill de Blasio, the Honorable David Dinkins, and so many other wonderful elected officials. And we have Rudy Giuliani. Now, many don't know this, but Rudy actually got his start as a prosecutor, going after wealthy New Yorkers who avoided paying taxes. But as the saying goes, if you can't beat him, go on Fox News and call him a genius. So as I've said, we've now had our third and thankfully final debate. Sharing a stage with Donald Trump is like, well, nothing really comes to mind. There is nothing like sharing a stage with Donald Trump. Donald wanted me drug tested before last night's debate. And look, I gotta tell you, I am so flattered that Donald thought I used some sort of performance enhancer. Now, actually, I did. It's called preparation. And looking back, I've had to listen to Donald for three full debates. And he says, I don't have any stamina. That is 4.5 hours. I have now stood next to Donald Trump longer than any of his campaign managers. Now look, I have deep respect for people like Kellyanne Conway. She's working day and night for Donald, and because she's a contractor, he's probably not even gonna pay her. But I think the good news is that the debates finally allowed Republicans to unite around their candidate. The bad news is it's Mike Pence. And it's been a long, long campaign. That should be one of our highest priorities, shortening the campaigns. And whoever wins this election, the outcome will be historic. We'll either have the first female president or the first president who started a Twitter war with Cher. And if Donald does win, it'll be awkward at the annual President's Day photo when all the former presidents gather at the White House, and not just with Bill. How is Barack going to get past the Muslim ban? Now, Republicans in particular seem frustrated with their nominee. Paul Ryan told the Republican members of the House, you don't have to support the top of the ticket. Don't worry about anyone besides yourself. Just do what's in your own best interests. So I guess Donald really has unified his party around his core philosophy. And I don't understand their unhappiness. They say Donald doesn't have any policies. He has no policies. I keep hearing that. I'd actually like to defend him on this. Donald has issues, serious issues, really, really serious issues. And I worry about Donald's go-it-alone attitude. For example, at his convention when he said, I alone can fix it. You know, in the 90s, I said the same thing about America's health care system, and it didn't work out so well for me either. But speaking of health, Donald has been very concerned about mine, very concerned. He actually sent a car to bring me here tonight. Actually, it was a hearse. But I kind of want to just put the information out there so everybody can draw their own conclusions and you can judge our relative health. We've each released our medical records. My blood pressure is 100 over 70. His is unbelievably great. My cholesterol is 189. His is presidential. My heart rate is 72 beats per minute. His is the most beats ever, or the least beats ever, whichever sounds best. But Donald really is as healthy as a horse, you know, the one Vladimir Putin rides around on. But I can say without fear of contradiction tonight that I will be the healthiest and youngest woman ever to serve as president. But this has really been a strange campaign. You saw it last night, you saw it again tonight. Donald has attacked me for a life in public service, and I didn't get that at first. I kind of get it now. As he told Howard Stern, he doesn't like it when women have been around for more than 35 years. But Donald, we have so much more in common than actually you may realize. For example, I've tried to inspire young people by showing them that with resilience and hard work, anything is possible, and you're doing the same. A third grade teacher told me that one of her students refused to turn in his homework because it was under audit. And here's another similarity. The Republican National Committee isn't spending a dime to help either one of us. So tonight, let's embrace the spirit of the evening. Let's come together, remember what unites us, and just rip on Ted Cruz. I hope you enjoyed my remarks tonight. I said no to some jokes that I thought were over the line, but I suppose you can judge for yourself on WikiLeaks in the next few days. Donald will tell us after the benediction whether he accepts that this dinner is over. He has to wait and see. But there's nothing funny about the stakes in this election. In the end, what makes this dinner important are not the jokes we tell, but the legacy that we carry forward. It is often easy to forget how far this country has come. And there are a lot of people in this room tonight who themselves, or their parents or grandparents, came here as immigrants, made a life for yourselves, took advantage of the American dream and the greatest system that has ever been created in the history of the world to unleash the individual talents, energy, and ambition of everyone willing to work hard. And when I think about what Al Smith went through, it's important to just reflect how groundbreaking it was for him, a Catholic, to be my party's nominee for president. Don't forget, school boards sent home letters with children saying that if Al Smith is elected president, you will not be allowed to have or read a Bible. Voters were told that he would annul Protestant marriages, and I saw a story recently that said people even claimed the Holland Tunnel was a secret passageway to connect Rome and America to help the Pope rule our country. Those appeals to fear and division, can cause us to treat each other as the other. Rhetoric like that makes it harder for us to see each other, to respect each other, to listen to each other, and certainly a lot harder to love our neighbor as ourselves. I believe how we treat others is the highest expression of faith and of service. Now, I'm not Catholic, I'm a Methodist, but one of the things that we share is the belief that in order to achieve salvation, we need both faith and good works. And you certainly don't need to be Catholic to be inspired by the humility and heart of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, or to embrace his message. His message about rejecting a mindset of hostility, his calls to reduce inequality, his warnings about climate change, his appeal that we build bridges, not walls. Now, as you may know, my running mate, Tim, is Catholic and went to Jesuit schools. And one of the things he and I have talked about is this idea from the Jesuits of the Magis, the more, the better. Well, we need to get better at finding ways to disagree on matters of policy while agreeing on questions of decency and civility. How we talk to each other, treat each other, respect each other. So I've taken this concept of Magis to heart in this campaign as best as one can in the daily heat, the back and forth of a presidential campaign, to ask how we can do more for each other and better for each other. Because I believe that for each of us, our greatest monument on this earth won't be what we build, but the lives we touch. And that is ultimately what this dinner is all about. And it's why it's been such a great honor to join you all again. Thank you.
If you are just joining us, this is the entire Al Smith Dinner, the recent New York City charity gathering of the presidential candidates, New York City Cardinal Timothy Dolan, and an audience of wealthy and influential A-listers. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU-FM, Middletown, and WESU-FM.org, with the episodes archived forever at ReasonablyCatholic.com. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment.
Hello, this is Arthur Myers, and I'm very happy to participate in this effort to bring greater awareness of WESU to the area. During the week, if I can listen, I am especially interested in Reasonably Catholic because of its breadth of participation of various people. I was on it myself. On the weekend, I'm especially listening to some of the alternative music or music that I wouldn't ordinarily listen to, whether it's from different countries or certainly younger recording artists. And those kinds of programs that are just plain broadening for anybody. And I urge you to both continue to listen and support WESU. Thank you.
She always gets me laughing now anyway. Always gets me laughing now anyway.
Hillary, thank you very much. That was terrific. An observation. I did see the candidates reach across a great divide tonight and shake hands. I think we should nominate Cardinal Dolan for the Nobel Peace Prize. What do you think? It is my honor to present Cardinal Dolan, Your Eminence.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. It has been the honor of my predecessors, and now mine as Archbishop of New York, to conclude this joyful and historic evening with a word of gratitude to all of you, and more solemnly to the Lord himself. Pardon my congestion and cough. I'm afraid I'm coming down with a cold, which is completely understandable, given the fact that for the last 2 hours, I've had a seat between our two candidates in what's probably the iciest place on the planet. Where is global warming when you need it?
Right.
In the name of the members of the devoted board of the L. Smith Foundation, who generously underwrite this endeavor, and who carefully distribute and account for the fruits of this great dinner, I thank all of you. Secretary Clinton and Mr. Trump, distinguished leaders in religion, public service, commerce, education, communication, healthcare, charity, and philanthropy, here graciously present on our dais and in this radiant ballroom. Two other persons are here with us this happy evening, everybody. The first are those thousands of women and children in this city we cherish as our earthly home who will benefit from the proceeds of this event. I'm talking about the African-American mom in the Bronx, eager for a scholarship to get her children into one of our renowned inner city Catholic schools. I'm talking to the troubled young mother needing support and encouragement to bring the tiny baby in the sanctuary of her womb to birth. I'm talking to the Mexican immigrant mom approaching our Catholic charities for help in uniting her family and obtaining citizenship, English language instruction, and job training. None of these brave women could afford a ticket to the Al Smith dinner, as it's more than they'd make in a month, but they're sure grateful you could, because as of tomorrow, thanks to all of you, $6 million will begin to flow out to lift them up. And the other person who is really here with us this evening, the Lord. He's told us in the scriptures that we Jews and Christians and Muslims cherish that he's in the midst of any event characterized by love, care, concern, and service. His son Jesus is here in our midst. His bride, the church, is honored to host an event affirming the dignity of the human person and the sacredness of all human life. So, please stand and join me in a final prayer. We praise you, Lord, for our faith, our families, and our friends, our call to serve those in need. We are grateful to be citizens of one nation under God, who acclaim this evening that in God we trust. Bless our two candidates, our benefactors, and those whom the L. Smith Foundation has been honored to serve for 7 decades. Guide us safely home, both this evening and for all eternity, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless and thank you. Right. Thank you, Al. 30 years. Wow. 30 years. How about it?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Your Eminence. Thank you, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, they said this couldn't be done. We got it done. Thank you very much.
That was a rebroadcast of the recent Al Smith dinner in New York City. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU-FM, Middletown, and WESUFM.org, with all the episodes archived at reasonablycatholic.com. Tune in next time when, the election being over, we'll unpack the Catholic vote with various experts. Just saying, this is the kind of subject matter you won't find aired anywhere but on a great community-supported radio station whose largely volunteer staff brings you programming for love. If you haven't made a pledge in support of the great work WESU does, please do so by going to WESUFM.org/pledge. And thanks. Stay tuned for The Jive at 5, followed by Acoustic Blender with Bill Revel.